Hello and welcome to my show. Could you be more specific? I'm your host, Jonathan Steele, coming to you by the way of the Stay Well podcast. And on this episode of Could You Be More Specific, I'm going to title it Respect the Hustle. And I'm going to touch on just some of the further updates with the whole Steve Harvey and Monique interview and just some of my thoughts on the aftermath of that interview and how that's kind of played out further into our community and how we handle business affairs publicly and privately. And then I'm also going to touch on Jay-Z and spotlight him again, mainly because of, you know, everything that's now going on with Dame and the apology that initially was put out. And then, ironically, their business partner, Biggs, who stepped in to say a few comments on them. But I'm going to start first with the Monique and Steve Harvey situation now. I did have the chance to watch the interview clips again around the time that they had interview had aired. I remember a lot of it was kind of blown out of proportion that she physically wanted to hurt him and that she was going to punch him in the face or whatever. I think that was definitely kind of just said to kind of sell the interview. But all in all, when you look at just the body language and some of the exchanges that they had, if you had to make a critique on Monique was very much set into how she was going to explain what she was explaining. And the fact that her point still deals with it from a very individual view as opposed to us as a collective. Like what Steve said was really true. Like you have to have a call to action and you have to have a plan. And it just can't be centered around you. It has to be a collective effort in terms of how you're describing the issue in terms of pay disparity, which pay disparity is there. And there's some that are a little bit easier to pinpoint than others, but it is there. I think the mistake that Steve made was that he got really emotional in terms of some of the stuff that she was saying. And I think that's the problem sometimes, too, with some of these interviews. People get kind of distracted and then they decide, well, I don't know how am I going to effectively be able to make my point. So some people just wait till someone finishes what they're saying and then they'll articulate whatever it is that they're going to say. I think when she said what she said about Richard Pryor saying something in her ear, I think that really bothered Steve. I think where he got caught up is when he was saying like, hey, we black out here. You know, this ain't the black man's game. It's not the white man's game. It's the money game. And that we have to move in a different way. Now, I get overall what he was saying, but in a clickbait society that we're in, I would have been able to pick that apart too. Easily. Because it's like, well, you just said it's not a race thing, but then you mentioned race. And then, you know, you're saying that, you know, we got to move differently out here. So if he had just said like, hey, sometimes when you go through business deals, the initial offers that you get are not usually your best offer. And I think that's another thing that kind of, you know, if you're going to say that you're being underpaid, I've never heard of a company ever offering someone their best offer on the first initial offer, unless it's a co-production or a partnership, which usually that entails it's a 50-50 split. If you're a work for hire, the first initial offer is never usually the best offer. So when she was saying that Netflix offered her $500,000, they never brought up that the deal was worth up to $3 million. If they hit certain points in the contract that would give them the opportunity to actually recoup that money. I think that by that not being said, that really hurts your argument from an individual standpoint. Now, from a collective standpoint, you then got to start looking at specials if you want to do that and decide and find out, well, how many people are watching X special, male or female, and how much do they drive advertising dollars, and how much does the analytical data say that this person's worth? That's how they usually do these deals. I heard Tommy Sotomayor, he actually kind of addressed that on his show recently when he was like, hey, Robert Downey Jr. was not originally the first choice for Iron Man, which is true. I've been aware of that. I was aware that he was someone that they struggled at the time still to insure him. And then on top of that, of insuring him, They gave him $500,000, even though he was a star actor. And they paid Terrence Howard more money than him. Because at the time, Terrence Howard was a hotter name. And that's why they decided to do that. Now, when the movie came out and it became a huge hit, it clearly was as big as it was because of how great Robert was in that role. So when it came to negotiating again, that changed things. And then they decided, okay, well, we need to then put our eggs in that basket with Robert. And then we'll just pay Terrence a much lower amount. And hey, he had contract issues too that he didn't know about. And he later found out that actually they did reserve the right, depending on how things were going, to adjust his contract. And then that's when they ended up casting Don Cheadle. So even Terrence Howard has experienced that at one point from a contract standpoint. But, you know, it's just something that you have to think about, because it's like, hey, if you're Robert Downey Jr. and once that hits, he's now been in a position with them now where he's been making on average anywhere from $35 to $50 million to appear in those films. You know, at some points he's made anywhere from $50 to sometimes $75 million in a calendar years. You know, because he bet on himself and he won. Now, I know some people have brought up other things with Monique in terms of some of her finances, and maybe that plays a role in that. But even aside from that, what she has to keep in mind with even all the stuff that she says about Lee Daniels and all the stuff she said about Oprah and Tyler Perry, she does not get an Oscar if it's not for Oprah and Tyler Perry, because if they don't agree to put their names on that film, it doesn't come out. That alone, you know, is something that you should be incredibly, incredibly, you know, grateful for. Because people like that in their tax bracket, you know, their stature, they don't have to do anything. Everything with them is optional. And I think that's the point, you know, because I really don't see, you know, Monique doing that with another billionaire person in Hollywood. I don't think she talks to Steven Spielberg that way. I just don't, you know. And that's another thing of being kind of comfortable with one another and how we decide to engage with one another. And so I think for Steve, you know, Steve is also hurt too, because he's made comments before. And whether it was a joke or not, like, hey, I'll dance for $10 million. And hey, in the old days when they didn't have cameras, people would have laughed at that and not took that too seriously. But now in this era where people are recording you at all times and they cut and edit videos, if you say something that is open, leaves yourself open to be picked apart, which we all do to a certain degree, because you can take anyone out of context. It's really not that hard to do, but you're kind of leaving yourself open for people to kind of rip you apart. So Steve Harvey's now faced a lot of that now. I know Steve Harvey has a lot of things going on. I know he even said that during that interview about calling her, but when I thought about when he said that he had initially, I guess when he said they all initially talked, even though they agreed with her, they says, hey, let's handle this privately. Because you just, the best deals that get done are never public. You can't negotiate in the public. You can't insult someone and then demand that they're on your side. It kind of reminded me of the whole thing with Don Lemon and him being shocked about Kevin Hart. Like, listen, you can't bully someone into being an ally for you. Matter of fact, they're even now less inclined to be involved in your event, period. So you're going to bully and shame me into being an advocate for you? Like, that's counterproductive. And so we can definitely agree to disagree, and some do. And hey, if you're someone that, you know, especially in regards to the Monique situation where a lot of people feel like she's making good points, and yeah, she does make valid points on the argument of pay disparity, but that has to be actually dissected, improved, and talked about through numbers. So the whole, you win an Oscar and that means something, it highlights a performance. That's all it does. It doesn't highlight a career. You know, if I'm an investor right now and you told me I can get a movie made, even when she won the Oscar, and it was between her and Gabrielle Union, I would get it made with Gabrielle Union because she's actually headlined films before that have made money. Even the movie Almost Christmas that she was talking about with her husband, Sidney, I believe, on The Breakfast Club, and comparing that to Amy Schumer. And Charlamagne was like, wait a minute, but this is an ensemble film. Amy Schumer was put in a primetime film where it's her and Goldie Hawn, and that's it in the title. there's more weight and responsibility on her for that film to do well versus you being on an ensemble film. Like, that movie didn't just make money because you were in it. And that's the thing that kind of gets, you know, left out. And I think, you know, if you're going to do that, you got to be really aware about doing that. So those are just some of the thoughts that I had on the Monique Steve Harvey situation. I'll probably definitely come back to it because I know I still see so many comments about dissecting about, is it a racial thing? Is it a business thing? Especially amongst people in the Black community. So I'm definitely going to touch on that real soon. I wanted to kind of touch on Jay-Z again real quick. I know I've talked about him in the past, you know, a few weeks or so, and just over the course of the pod. Obviously, he's still an incredible figure, and he kind of speaks to what, ironically, what Steve was talking about in terms of my interpretation of it, about how you handle yourself behind the scenes. And Jay's one of those people where I know Big Spurk had actually put that out, talking about the things that he's done behind the scenes, whether it's helping him when he was going through his trial, paying Lil Wayne's taxes, helping 21 Savage, you know, and he's done a litany of things behind closed doors. I know there was just a recent story with him and Nipsey Hussle and him supporting him. It's like, and Jay does it quietly. Now, the pro of that is that, okay, it seems like this person is doing it genuinely, but we're in such a culture where if I can't see it, if you can't prove it to me, then it doesn't happen. And that's the problem. Everyone's so fascinated and interested in just living on their phone in terms of what they do or how they're growing and stuff like that. It just, it doesn't work that way. And so to see kind of Big Spurk say what he said about him kind of made a lot of sense. Now, I know, kind of going back to the Dame Dash apology thing, which when I heard it initially and saw the video clip, it did seem kind of really like condescending. It was more so genuine probably towards the angle of maybe Jay-Z and Biggs. But with Lee Urkel and I think it was more of that. I think one of the things with Jay, and I know I was watching some earlier clips with him when it comes to Dame, was it was always on record that from a personality standpoint, Jay and him didn't really see eye to eye on how they did, on how they, you know, each other did business. I know for Jay, he looked at Dame that he felt like, hey, you know, it's one thing to kind of be a defender and to be the person that's, you know, kind of going to hold the line and be no nonsense. I think he had a real problem with the way he used to talk to certain people in terms of staff members and the way he went about doing his business. Now, hey, some people are indifferent to that. Like, hey, if he's successful, I'm not that emotionally inclined to be like, oh, my feelings are hurt, I can't work. Just from an atmosphere standpoint, it does kind of make things sometimes hard to kind of function because it has a walking on edge shows vibe. But I know for Jay, at that time, he felt like they had a good run. And that's another thing people don't realize. Everything, a lot of people expect things to last forever a lot of the time. And sometimes things are just made to run its course. And once it's ran its course, you just move on and you go off to the next thing. And I know I was seeing that they were talking about all the other business things that Jay has lined up that no one knows about privately that he's looking to do. And that's how he's always felt like he wanted to move. He's never wanted to be one of those people where he's always trying to stay in the news all the time. When you hear about him, it's going to be valid. And, you know, if you kind of think about the lyric that he had on Drake's song Talk It Up, when he says he's not on the gram, they record who I am. That's such a Jay line to say because it's so true. You know, that's where he's at. You know, his wife just puts it out. Beyonce just puts out her stuff because just as a way to connect to her fans and stay, you know, intertwined with them. But Jay doesn't have to do that. He's from a different era with a different mindset, and he's not conceding to this era. So those are just some of the thoughts I had on that. I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Want to thank all the hard work that he's been doing. Definitely continue to like, share, follow, support us, become a patron on our pod. Continue to follow the podcast. I'm looking forward to doing more shows in the future. Again, my name is John Steele. Thank you for listening. Could you be more specific? Look for more videos and new content on the Stay Well podcast. And I hope you guys have a good one.